I'm Lucy Porter. With us are Ivo Graham, Sindhu V, Jess Robinson, Kieran Hodgson, Emma Siddy, and this is...
The Now Show!
This Friday was Black Friday, which is why Hugh and Steve aren't here, as they're currently scrapping with a pensioner over a 52-inch plasma screen in Currys. Black Friday feels particularly relevant this year, since everything at the moment seems to be about deals.
It's Brexit Friday. Take advantage of this great deal from Her Majesty's government. We've got continued tariff-free trade with no Irish border for just £40 billion. Yes, a bargain. £40 billion buys you a slightly worse version of what you've already got, except with fewer foreigners.
Terms and conditions apply. You may find yourself shackled to the decisions of an economic and legislative body in which you have no power or representation. Offer does not apply to 80% of British GDP in the form of service industries. The pound sterling can go down as well as belly up. Failure to keep up payments may lead to Jeremy Corbyn.
It's certainly been a hell of a week for the Prime Minister, but the threat of a vote of no confidence seems to have passed, and Theresa May can once again breathe easy. She has survived in very much the same way that a bird that my cat brings into the kitchen can be said to have survived. Before the weekend, it actually seemed that she might go, but by Monday it was clear that the 48 letters needed by the 1922 committee to trigger a vote had not been received. It's weirdly traditional that they have to send real letters. You'd think nowadays they could just send in 48 emails or 48 WhatsApp messages.
Postman Pat, Postman Pat, Postman Pat and his black and white cat.
It was a bright November day, and Postman Pat arrived at the Palace of Westminster with his sack.
Good morrow, famous purveyor of scripted missives,
said Mr. Rees-Mogg.
Pray, how many epistles are in your sack today?
Postman Pat said he thought there were about 24. Mr. Rees-Mogg said...
Oh, really? You estimate the number to be a mere XXIV?
He was disappointed. He had expected there to be at least 48. Postman Pat said... Perhaps the others are waiting strategically until after the deal is defeated in the Commons. Or maybe your ERG lot are so incompetent you couldn't organise a barn dance in a large agricultural building. To which Mr. Rees-Mogg replied...
Guards, seize him. Have this proletarian rapscallion clapped in irons forthwith.
For anyone who hasn't seen the ERG, Rees-Mogg's hardline committee, just imagine if Last of the Summer Wine did a Halloween special. Made her return to front bench politics this week and hit out at another thorn in the Prime Minister's side, the group of pro-Brexit MPs dubbed Pizza Club. It's the first time the nation's fate has rested in the hands of something that sounds like a deal at Wetherspoons. Pizza Club comprises Liam Fox, Penny Mordaunt, Andrea Leadsom and Chris Grayling, which brings to mind the old Groucho Marx quote.
I wouldn't want to belong to a club that would have Chris Grayling as a member.
The trouble the withdrawal agreement is causing doesn't stop at Britain's border, wherever that's going to be. The rest of Europe is perfectly capable of behaving as belligerently as us Brits, thank you very much. Spain is threatening to vote against the agreement over Gibraltar, the Danes and the Dutch are concerned over fishing rights, and the French are demanding changes that are clearly just designed to annoy us.
Nous demandons...
Britain to admit that apart from cod, they don't really like fish much anyway. France to be officially relabeled on all British maps as World Cup oldest France.
Trois.
The phrase the English Riviera to be replaced by Borough of Torquay.
Quatre.
All British supermarkets to clearly label all baguettes with the words warning does not actually taste like French bread.
And finally, there is to be a total ban on ending TV commercials with someone whispering in a French accent.
Parfum de Paris, Garnier, Zoom Zoom.
Taisez-vous!
But while the French might be able to make life difficult for us, they may soon be finding it more difficult to come and live with us. Theresa May faced criticism for saying her Brexit plan will stop EU citizens from jumping the queue with respect to immigration. She knows exactly how to push our buttons. British people hate queue jumpers. Next, she'll be saying,
no more will EU migrants come over here openly talking about sex and asking us how much we earn.
What she did promise was that
instead of a system based on where a person is from, we will have one that is built around the talents and skills a person has to offer.
Well, I hope that doesn't apply to those of us who are already here. If the right to remain was based on the talents and skills a person has to offer, we'd lose half of our frontline politicians for a start.
Thank you for coming in for this interview, Mr. Johnson. Now, I see here that you were born overseas, in New York, but do you think you've successfully assimilated?
Nemo me impune le quesit, etc. Really?
Right, yeah, so I'm just going to put your English language capability down as basic, if that's okay. So what about your other skills?
Plenty. Journalist, magazine editor, diplomat extraordinaire, zip wire tester.
Sorry, Mr. Johnson, no, those are just things that you've done.
Ooh.
What skills and talents do you actually have?
Well, I could probably see you twice a week for a year without your husband ever finding out. That takes quite a bit of skill. You're deporting me, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Meanwhile, Jeremy Corbyn did give a few tantalising hints of his vision for Brexit to the CBI earlier this week, and they didn't seem overly impressed. But then Jeremy Corbyn and big business are what the phrase strange bedfellows was built for. I can imagine it was a tough gig.
OK, Mr. Corbyn, you're on next. Are you happy with your speech?
Look, love, when you've been playing the clubs and protest rallies as long as I have, you'll learn how to play a room. I'll start with some old classics, For the Many, Not the Few, and then bring the house down with my new stuff about the importance of repealing the 2016 Trade Unions Act and asking big businesses to transfer shares to their workers. Boom.
Are you sure a room full of big businessmen will go for that? I mean, maybe try something that will appeal to them.
Oh, a bit of blue, you mean? Oh, no. This flag is going to be red all the way.
It is hoped the Brexit declaration and withdrawal deal will be signed off at a summit meeting in the EU this weekend. By Sunday, a deal could actually be agreed, although apparently Jean-Claude Juncker cancelled a trip to the Canary Islands, which I'm sure put him in an absolutely great mood to discuss fishing rights. Whatever your opinions on Brexit, I think we can all agree on one thing. Theresa May has got a bloody hard job. She's been given the task of negotiating a deal that needs to be signed off by 27 sovereign states. A deal that has to keep her perpetually warring party happy while simultaneously trying to please the 48% of people that didn't want it in the first place. Oh yeah, and one wrong move and the troubles in Northern Ireland could kick off at any minute. For me, that's absolutely unimaginable. I have to have a large G&T and a deep bath after a particularly stressful episode of The Archers. It's a job so tough, I'm surprised she hasn't put old-fashioned pen to traditional paper and written a letter to the 1922 committee herself. Guest has appeared on Live at the Apollo and Mock the Week, but most importantly, he's now a guest on The Now Show. Please welcome Ivo Graham!
Ladies and gentlemen, brace yourself for a question which is going to hit the Radio 4 audience right where it hurts. Have we had enough John Lewis Christmas adverts? Now, I know that's a big call. The ads are an institution. We know the drill. Every November, the nation's supermarkets all compete in what feels less like festive PR and more a massively oversubsidized short film festival. While we, the consumers, gather around, stroke our chins and say things like, genuinely moving, exceptional production values, and a welcome distraction from the impending collapse of Western civilization. The ads usually end with a Route 1 message like, show someone they're loved this Christmas. The subtext always being, but make sure to do so in gift form. God forbid anyone try and express that love in a metaphysical fashion. Now, this year's John Lewis ad has broken from tradition by featuring no animals and instead focusing entirely on Elton John. It might seem an odd pairing, but Elton John and John Lewis are similar in more than just name. They're both national institutions that love a good furnishing. It takes us from Elton's arena-filling heyday to the moment it all began, when he received a piano for Christmas as a child. Now, quite aside from how many children will actually be getting a John Lewis piano for Christmas, RRP £872, some people have also asked, does it feel a bit dirty that the whole ad is basically a plug for Elton's farewell tour? Now, when I say John Lewis, I actually mean John Lewis and Partners, and it's an important distinction. If you want to find them on social media, you have to search JL and Partners. If you search John Lewis, you get a computer science teacher who lives in Virginia. An appropriate state for a computer science teacher to live in. That's a lazy joke, he's a father of four. Now, in 2007, John Lewis, the man, was the early nerd who captured the worm, specifically the @JohnLewis Twitter handle. However, what this means is that his life is a constant deluge of furious feedback intended for the shop. Some of the gems from the last few months alone include, your 7-day curtain service is a lie! Still no gluten-free cake in the Trafford Centre! And my personal favourite, where is my brother's fridge? John Lewis the man has spent the last decade patiently replying to these tweets. And this year he was rewarded by being made the star of Twitter's own Christmas video. Which begs two questions. One, why does Twitter need a Christmas video? Two, even though it's nice that John Lewis the man gets his moment in the spotlight, is it a shame that these days every bit of online fun has to be hijacked by big corporations? Like when my uncle suddenly announced he'd got into these Franz Ferdinand chaps. Because companies do this sort of thing all the time now. And perhaps the reason that there was no gluten-free cake in the Trafford Centre was that John Lewis managed to have it and eat it this year. In the form of the rival Waitrose advert that you may have seen. In this mischievous little piece of satire, a couple gets bored and fast-forwards through the John Lewis advert. Sacrilege, I hear you cry. Except it's not mischievous satire. Waitrose is a division of the John Lewis partnership. So they plan this together. And because it's 2018, the ads are accompanied with awful, cringeworthy social media banter, where the John Lewis account says, I thought we were partners. And the Waitrose account replies, oh, this is awkward. And we're all meant to clap our hands in delight and go, oh, look, Mummy, the shops are talking to each other. I think we can all agree that when adverts are referencing other adverts, it's gone too far. I go to Waitrose for artichokes, not in-jokes. Hashtag feta, not meta. One supermarket campaign with a controversially political edge this year came from Iceland, whose animated ad was cute, but also made a serious point about how the palm oil industry is destroying the rainforests. I think that's worth celebrating because it's actually done something to raise awareness of a real issue. And who'd have thought that the protection of the Sumatran orangutan could ever be followed with the phrase, that's why mums go to Iceland. But is it the place of ads to make these points? Can you take credit for promoting something virtuous if you're promoting yourself at the same time? Something for me to think about on Sunday when I'm driving in my electric car to my tour show in Lytham St Anne's. Tickets very much still available. Another example of this was Sainsbury's 2014 Christmas ad, set during the World War I Christmas truce. It was beautifully made, but then, does it matter how beautifully made something is when it's still ultimately an advert for Sainsbury's? If the last thing you see hovering above the Western Front is, taste the difference. Or, schmecken Sie den Unterscheid for the German soldiers. the end of the day, there aren't definite answers to any of this. Iceland deserves some praise for promoting conservation, in the same way that John Lewis, Waitrose and Elton deserve some stick for promoting themselves. But there are, of course, worse things going on in the world. And if a Christmas ad takes your mind off those things, then fair enough. And for God's sake, don't miss your last chance to watch Elton play Candle in the Wind live. Unless that candle is made of palm oil, in which case, boo that monster off the stage. Thank you very much.
Next on The Now Show, a performer who is currently touring with her show No Filter. I'm guessing it's a heartwarming tale about swimming pool maintenance. Please will you welcome Jess Robinson!
Make Christmas special with me, Theresa May. Unfortunately, Father Christmas is stuck at visa control. So I'll be your Santa baby. Landing on the roof and dropping down the chimney a 585-page document. Now gather up your loved ones, open up my stockings, and let's see what I have in store. It's beginning to look a lot like Brexit. Everywhere I go, I really and truly feel it's a totally awesome deal. The most festive gift since Tickle Me Elmo. We're beginning to say goodbye to Europe. Farewell, France and Spain. Open my Brexit hamper wide. You'll love the gifts inside, unless you voted Remain. We've had a delay with the Brussels pâté, and the turkey's a bit hard to chew. You'll be brought to your knees by the smell of hard cheese, but at least your passport's blue. We'll close our port, so here's a bottle to make it up to you. It's a magical deal for all the family. From 8 to 89. I'll sing Juncker this happy song, dance for Merkel and Macron, and pray that Stephen Barclay won't resign. I'm making my naughty and nice lists, you know. On the naughty list, David Davis, Dominic Raab, Boris Johnson, Joe Johnson, Jeremy Corbyn, Nicola Sturgeon, Arlene Foster, and 26 others. You know who you are! And on the nice list, it's me, my husband Philip, and the Spice Girls. You were beginning to think I'd made my exit, but there's life in this old dog. On my strong and stable sleigh, I'm your Santa dressed in grey. So up yours, Rees-Mogg.
Jess Robinson! The news is pretty much 100% Brexit at the moment, but other things are going on in the world, as you can judge from a selection of recent headlines. I'm not sure which is my favourite. It could be...
Firefighters stunned when emergency call turns out to be parrot doing impression of a smoke alarm.
That was in the Metro. But I don't think parrot Rory Bremner is my favourite. Not when other headlines have included...
US Marine Corps pilots investigated for drawing a giant penis in the sky.
It's true, there's a picture and everything. It's basically the same image your naughty friend drew on your rough book, but a kilometre long and 5,000 feet up. The best part, though, is a US Navy spokesperson who stuck up for them. They said,
"We can be proud that our fighter pilots are probably the best in the world, and drawing a penis with this amount of skill and precision proves it."
Although I would argue the only thing it proves is that some men will go to extraordinary lengths to show you a dick pic. This rather seamlessly brings us on to the US president. Who this week issued a statement saying he wasn't remotely bothered by being closely allied to a country that murders journalists in cold blood and then tries to cover it up. So it turns out Piers Morgan was right. Trump doesn't hate all Muslims. As long as they have oil and buy US missiles, he's fine with them. The situation now is that Saudi Prince bin Salman says he didn't know anything about it, Turkey's President Erdogan says he did, and Trump just doesn't know who to believe. All we need now is Rob Brydon, and we've got the would-be dictator's special of Would I Lie to You? Another thing causing a stink this week was M&S, in the form of a Christmas window display advertising for men...
outfits to impress.
And for women...
fancy little knickers.
It was described by feminist campaigners as vomit-inducing sexism. But it's not so much that it's sexist that annoys me, it's more that it sounds like the kind of thing Boris Johnson would mutter in his sleep.
I'm honoured to be elected leader of the Conservative Party. Demosthenes, I think, wisely said. Fancy little knickers!
Other news, a new head of Interpol has been elected, and it's a South Korean. The Russian candidate was expected to win, but didn't, and a disappointed Kremlin spokesperson said...
the elections were complicated.
Which was true, as there was more than one candidate on the ballot paper. Finally, you may have seen that a Canadian team were thrown out of a curling tournament for being drunk in charge of a broom. Be drunk when you're watching curling but not playing it. The team were accused of breaking things and swearing, although to be fair that is exactly my experience every time I've been ice skating. Still, what's the big fuss? We've all been kicked out of places for being drunk, right? You know, nightclubs, bars, Asda, parents' evenings. And at least they didn't cozy up to tyrants or skywrite a full complement of genitalia. And now will you please welcome to the Now Show, as seen on Have I Got News For You and star of Radio 4's Sindhustan, it's the wonderful Sindhu V!
Sunday's episode of the BBC nature show Dynasties saw the BBC film crew help out some penguins and their chicks. This caused quite a lot of controversy because the rule is that crews just observe, they don't get in the way of nature. David Attenborough, the omniscient deity of all nature documentaries, has said so. For the record, he has let things die and defended that. However, on this occasion, his voice boomed in to defend the crew's actions. They did the right thing. Obviously, as a god, he has to be completely unfathomable. Some people thought it was really the right thing to do. A gully was dug. Nothing more. No animals were physically handled. It was all very soft touch. Some people said it was wrong. The crew should just have let nature take its course and live with the loss, grief, and mayhem. But everyone, absolutely everyone, got very emotional. One distressed man tweeted, "I'm a 23-year-old man sat crying at penguins." Madness. But my big thing with this story was the people who thought the crew should not have helped. What? How can you expect human beings watching these penguins and their chicks to not intervene? I mean, the chicks really tipped the balance. Because human beings are unique in the animal kingdom for how much support we give our kids. Think about it. The idea that something or someone might harm your child makes you crazy. I remember one of my children was getting bullied in school and the teacher called me in and she said that the three little children who were doing it, they were having a lot of trouble at home, a lot of instability. The school was working with them. The school was also working with my child. Could I have a little bit of patience? And I thought to myself, patience? I'm going to find those three little punks. I'm going to bloody end them. You think their life is unstable now? You just wait until I'm done spreading rumors about their mothers at the school gates. I'll show you instability. I didn't do it, but I thought it because I was worried that my child was being hurt. Now, why are human beings like this? There is a clear reason. We are like this because human children are born with zero instinct for self-preservation whatsoever. Zero. I mean, let's go back to nature documentaries. Think of one, like where a deer is born and it's wobbling around on its jelly legs. What is the mother doing? She's turned away and is eating grass. Right? And then a cheetah arrives. What does the mother do? She legs it. And this wobbly jelly baby suddenly finds the power to spring up and start sprinting after the mother, hopping and sprinting, and the cheetah's chasing it. And then it gets caught and eaten because it's too slow. But the point is, it understood self-preservation. Human kids? No. They can't even do regular everyday things. Just today, before coming here, I was having dinner with my kids, waiting for my taxi. And my youngest was sitting opposite me and she was telling me that she was sick and I was telling her off. Not because this is how you deal with a sick child, but because this child is a complete liar. I mean, I love her dearly, but there is no denying that she's a thug. Anyway, as I was telling her off, she looked at me and suddenly went and projectile vomited the way small children do. They always vomit at you. They don't vomit down. Why? Because they're too stupid to know about gravity. And then she became overwhelmed, as young children do when they start vomiting. Just complete chaos. I have always looked at my children when they've done this and thought, what are you doing? I mean, just vomit. And then my eldest, who's a teenager, so his vibe is usually very, oi, oi, bruh, what up? On this occasion, he looked at his sister and went, oh, mate, And I said, no, you hold it. Be some use to your mother. And then our middle child, she was saying something and crying. And she's always saying that I'm the middle child, you never pay attention to me. And frankly, she's right. I had no idea what she was saying. I looked at the tears, the vomit, and the mayhem, and I thought, these kids can't even handle basic bodily functions without almost dying. But I didn't say that to my children. What I said to my children was, you guys, my Uber's here. So I'm gonna go. And I very much hope that by now a BBC crew has found them. Thank you so much.
Sindhubi! Thank you very much. That's it for this week. You've been listening to The Now Show, starring Lucy Porter, Ivo Graham, Sindhubi, Jess Robinson, Kieran Hodgson, and Emma Siddy. It was written by Steve Hunt, with additional material from Lucy Porter, Madeline Brettingham, Ed Amston, Tom Coles, Joe Barnes, Laura Major, and Mike Shepherd. The song was written and arranged by Jess Robinson, Matthew Crosby, and Michael Ralston. The producer was Matt Strong. It was a BBC Studios production.